Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing our examination of 1 John. We're in the third chapter. And folks, there's some seriously, seriously profound things here. We should literally go back all the way to the beginning, all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And we'll carry on all the way beyond the book of Revelation to where we're restored to the new Eden again, literally. So we've covered the first five verses. Let me go back and read those verses again to renew the context for us. So 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. And so those, we've covered all this before, and these last two verses are really important for what we're about to see in verse 6. That everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. In other words, if your pattern and behavior of life is a consistent practice of sin, then you're practicing lawlessness and you're living in lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And he says Jesus appeared to take away sins, and in him there's no sin. So here's what the picture is. If you are in sin and you're practicing sin and you're living this way, then you are not in the Lord. It is that simple. So the Spirit leads John to continue on with his thought in verse 6. No one who abides in him sins. So no one who abides in him, and the him is Jesus. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Boy, these are quite often troublesome and problematic verses, right? People often stumble over these things and wonder what they mean. It goes back to what we've talked about before. And again, John speaks of this in John 15 of his gospel, that we must abide in the Lord. If we abide in him, we will not sin. If you abide in him, then you know him. He says no one who sins has seen him or knows him. And he's talking about those whose pattern and practice of life is sinning. So if your practice of life is sin, that's what you do. You continue to do it. You don't want to repent. You don't want to confess. You don't want to press on beyond the sin. Then you don't know him. Now, there's a lot of people that will say, oh, I know him. I'm saved. But they continue to sin. Okay? We encounter this in multitudes of ways, in ourselves personally and in the body of Christ and in the world. But this is the profound truth, is that no one who abides in him will sin. If you abide in the Lord, you will not sin. I know people get distracted by that and they say, well, nobody's perfect, nobody's sinless. That's the whole point. We in and of ourselves are not perfect. We are not sinless within these bodies. But if we abide in him, you see the difference? If we abide in him, we will not sin. Well, let's continue on another verse or so, verse 7. Little children, notice the love that he's pouring out for them, okay? Just the love and the compassion. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he, that's Jesus, is righteous. Verse 8, the one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Ah, I dare say that in these two verses right here, we know portions of these verses. But now again, as always, I think we know more because we know the context. We know the context, and we receive some understanding from that. So what's he saying? Well, first of all, he's just pouring out his love. And little children, get this, okay? He said, let no one deceive you. We have a role and a responsibility to not be deceived. Well, how do you do that? You do it by abiding in the Lord. You do it by the things that he's covered so far in this letter, when he's going to cover in the balance of it, okay? You don't do it by your own power and your own strength. You do it by the Most High God. Make sure that no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. So if your pattern and practice of behavior is that of righteousness, then you know him. The one who practices sin is of the devil. Okay, he's of the devil. And, well, you say, well, that's pretty forthright and cut. It is. It cuts right to the chase. If you practice sin, you are of the devil. He's actually going to pick this up as he develops it here in relationships within the body of Christ. And he'll say things like, if someone says that he loves God and he hates his brother, he's a liar. He's a liar. He doesn't love God. I encountered that from time to time. I encountered it here just recently, as a matter of fact, with someone who I did not even know this. I really don't know this individual. I know the name, this kind of stuff. And we're walking somewhat similar circles, okay? But as a retired minister, and can't get him to say a word about anything. Turns out that he hates me, you know, despises me or whatever. And I'm sitting there thinking, that is so sad, because you profess to be this and you spent your entire career doing this, and yet you hate someone who is a brother. And the scripture says, if you hate somebody like that, then you're not of the Lord. And so if your pattern and practice is sin, if you hold aught in your heart against somebody, okay, then you are of the devil. And you say, well, how can that be? Remember that great example with Peter? Okay, Peter and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was telling some things that were going to happen. And asked him a question, actually, and Peter came up with an answer. He says, hey, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, yeah, here's what's going to happen. Then Peter said those two words that you can never put together, Lord, no. If he's Lord, you can't say no to him, right? But he went, Lord, no. That's not going to happen. We can't let that happen. Then Jesus looks at him, and it's literally in the same conversation. He says, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. In other words, at that moment, Peter had been so right at the beginning, but in that moment right there, he was speaking forth the words of Satan, because he had stepped outside the abiding of the truth of what the Lord had just said. So that's what he's saying right here. The one who practices sin is of the devil. And then we learn a little bit about the devil, which is really sort of interesting. The whole thing with the devil and Satan, right here, the Greek word is diabolos. It's not really a title. It's not a name. It's what he does. He's a slanderer. He's an accuser. He's a false accuser. And so it's literally like, well, this is what the slanderer does. By the time of Second Temple Judaism, by the time that Jesus was here on the earth, those descriptive terms had become and adopted as names and titles, okay? But it just says that the slanderer was a slanderer from the beginning. He has sinned from the beginning. Of course, that begs the question, the beginning of what? Is it from the beginning of the creation? Well, that's something we won't get into right now, but it does go to Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, back to Genesis, where you see that there was one of the sons of God that didn't really like what God was doing right here and sought to undermine him. And it's from the beginning that this has occurred. The end of verse 8 says this, the Son of God, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the slanderer, of the devil, of the Satan. Okay, Jesus came to destroy those works. He destroyed those works positionally, where he's victorious over the enemy, and we're living things out until everything is brought into completion. He also has destroyed those works within our lives, folks. If we will abide in him, if we will dwell in him, we will not sin. Those works have already been destroyed if we will trust him and rest in him. Well, my time's up again. I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time. As always, pass words about these times, about this podcast, share with other folks. I'll see you next time. Goodbye.